Good evening. We're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians 15 on Wednesday night. So if you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be looking at verses 39 through 50 tonight. And I'll start reading at verse 39, 1 Corinthians 15. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. In these passages, or in these verses, I should say, written by the Apostle Paul, one of the things that he does is he uses comparison and contrast. And what he's doing, he's comparing our physical bodies that we have now with our future glorified bodies. And he uses such things as the celestial and terrestrial, corruption and incorruption, natural body, a spiritual body. And he also says of something about the heavenly and the earthy. And he uses these terms to give us a contrast. And that's what he's doing in this section, which is leading up to the last part of the chapter, which we'll look at next time. But in verse 39, Paul says there are two separate and distinct kinds of fleshly beings in verse 39, human and animal. He said there's one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of beasts and fishes and birds. And we can readily see that. That's something that we observe very easily and quickly in the natural world. And there is a difference between human beings and animals. They're not the same. There are some physical sameness there. But as far as human beings and animals are concerned, they're two separate and distinct things. And he says in verse 40, he continues that comparison in verse 40, he says, there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, there are the celestial bodies are heavenly bodies, the things that we can see in the atmosphere, the things that we can observe in the sky at night. Those are celestial bodies. Terrestrial are the earthly bodies. And the earthly bodies have their own glory and beauty, and celestial, the heavenly bodies, have their own glory and beauty. You know, if you think about the human body, the human body is a fascinating and incredible work. It really is. It's amazing. There are certain things in our bodies that we really don't even think about that are going on. In fact, our heart is pumping and our lungs are breathing air. You know, that's an amazing thing. Even when we're sleeping, We're not even conscious. All these things are going on, these processes are going on in our human bodies. No wonder the psalmist says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Paul continues to, in that same thought in verse 41. He goes in a little more detail in verse 41 by saying there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. And you know, as you look at the sun, and we understand the sun is a star. This body is around 93 million miles away from Earth. And it's interesting, it's always fascinated me, that the sun is set precisely and exactly in a way in which we can sustain life on Earth. Isn't that amazing? And think about the other planets in our solar system. There used to be 9. Somebody said there were 10 now, but I don't keep up with that stuff like I used to. But there's only one planet in our solar system which supports human life, and that's our planet. It's Earth. And if you look at the sun, and astronomers have observed the sun, there are millions of explosions going on the surface of the sun at one time. And how does that star, the sun, you know, how does it stay in one place? How is it possible that these things that are happening on Earth, our atmosphere, our vegetation, the fact that we can live and exist, all these things the Apostle Paul is talking about is a wonderful, glorious thing. The glory of the sun, the glory of the moon. It's been a full moon. I don't know if you've noticed that. And I've tried not to act too strangely at a full moon. But, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have a telescope. And, you know, it wasn't a very powerful telescope, but it was good enough for me. I was, you know, when kids got a telescope, they don't care what it, you know, how powerful it is. And I used to focus it on the moon and bring everything into focus. And I tell you what, that was an experience for me. To see the moon, and it's interesting to note, even as a child, I understood that the moon did not manufacture its own light. It reflected the light of the sun back to Earth. How can that be, do you think? Isn't that amazing? How God has created our universe, our world, the solar system in which we live, the moon, the stars. And understand that there are billions and billions of stars out there, and we're in what is called a galaxy. Now, I'm not too sure about the definition of a galaxy, but which is made up of, I don't know, stars. But I understand there are billions of galaxies out there. That's incredible. That's amazing. And we see this vast natural world in which God has created for us. And we see it's the celestial. And we see what's going on in our world, you know, in the planet Earth. We see the tides rise, they fall, they come in, they go out at certain times during the day. We know that our atmosphere, that we are protected from the sun's rays by an atmosphere or I forgot what they call it. But something that God, the Lord, has put there to help us sustain and live in this world. Amazing, isn't it? The natural world. And the Apostle Paul is mentioning that in verse 41. As he says, verse 42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Notice what he says there. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. That is, the word corruption means something that decays, that has diseases or sicknesses. Now, he's talking about our present physical human bodies in which we're living in right now. And we, you know, our bodies are, even though they're wonderfully created by our Savior, by our God, they have limitations on them. They have a limited lifespan. You know, our bodies here on this earth are not going to last 100 million years, are they? You know, and we're lucky, or I shouldn't say lucky, we're blessed if we get to 80 or 85 years old. And, you know, compared to eternity, that's nothing, is it? And our body is going to be, in verse 42, Paul says that resurrection of the body is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. The word incorruption means that our bodies will no longer decay. There will be no more sicknesses, diseases in our resurrected bodies. And it's like a seed. You know, the last time I used that illustration of the tulip bulb, which looks like it's very shriveled, dried up, looks dead, doesn't it? You put that bulb in the soil in the wintertime, I guess, fall, whenever. And in springtime, that shriveled up, apparently dead bulb produces these beautiful, lovely, colorful flowers. And, you know, that's in a similar way. That's the way the resurrection of our body is going to take place. We are, in verse 42, we are sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. Just like that seed in the ground yields a flower or a plant, so our mortal corrupt bodies will yield a new glorified body someday. That's what we have to look forward to, brother, sister in Christ. And he says also, he uses a comparison in verse 43. He says, our physical body is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown in dishonor. You know, that word dishonor in this particular case means a lowly state. Not spectacular, but humble. You know, that's our physical bodies. Because of its limitations, we have to say that we are living in a lowly state. But he also says in verse 43 that our bodies are going to be raised in glory. In other words, honor. There will be no aging. There will be no decay. There will be no wrinkles. And you ladies, you know, let me tell you, you can throw away those lotions, the potions, the creams, and all that other stuff that you put on your face to keep those wrinkles from coming out. You know, when you get to your new body, you don't have to worry about that stuff. And, you know, that's the way to, you know, that's how bodies are decaying. You know, we look at our bodies 30 or 40 years ago, those of us who can look back that far, and we see that our bodies have decayed quite a bit, haven't they? They've aged. We've taken on some things that we didn't have before. But our bodies will be sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Philippians 3:21 says, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do for us in a future day. Paul also says in verse 43 that we're sown in weakness. In other words, we have infirmities, we have limitations, and we have a temporary body. These bodies that we have now are going to wear out. They're going to run down. But he also says, in comparison to that, to our weak limitations in our own bodies, he says, they will be raised in power someday. A body that doesn't have the earthly limitations that we have now. Well, does this mean when we get our glorified bodies, we'll be able to fly around the universe and all this kind of stuff? I don't know. We might. That'd be interesting. I don't get out of town very often, so that, you know, that would be a nice trip. To go around the universe. But you recall in the gospel account, I believe it was in the gospel of John, that the disciples were gathered together inside a house in a room, and Jesus, in one of his post-resurrection appearances, appeared right in front of them in his glorified body. Fascinating, isn't it? I don't know if we're going to have that ability or not. We'll just have to find out someday. But we see in verse 44, Paul continues that it is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. The natural body, of course, is our physical body, our flesh. Flesh and blood bodies we have now, the spiritual bodies are the ones that we're going to have in the future. And he uses an interesting comparison in verse 45. He said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We have the first Adam and the last Adam. compared in verse 45. Of course, we understand the first Adam had a physical body as we did. He committed sin and disobedience in the Garden of Eden and brought in decay and sin to the human race. And now our bodies are temporary. They have limitations on them. That's the first Adam. But the last Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives us eternal life. And as followers of Christ, our spiritual body will come in the future. What we're looking at now, we look at each other now, this is not our spiritual bodies, physically speaking. But in a coming day, that we will have a body that will not wear out, that will not have limitations. And I try to conjure up in my mind exactly what that's going to look like, but I just can't wrap my brain around it. I just can't get my mind on the fact that we're going to have different bodies and there won't have any limitations. I have a hard time understanding that. And I hope you do too, because if you understand it, you're going to have to tell me. But the Paul says also in verse 46, howbeit that it was not first which is a spiritual, well, that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The natural man, Adam, came first. Then Jesus, the spiritual man, came after that. We're born into the world as natural beings, and of course we have opportunities to become born again. That's when we get the spiritual side of God. We understand, we have knowledge of the spiritual side of God. We understand His Word. We understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what He's done. We have our faith in Him to continue, that continues in our life. And that's going to continue as we, you know, get our glorified bodies. That is even going to be expanded to the point where our knowledge of God is going to be incredible. Think about that. Think about the fact that right now we are limited. Our own sin nature limits us, the flesh. Satan, his attacks on us limits us. The world and its pressures limits us. But at some point in time in history, all those things are going to be eradicated, done away with. And we will have unlimited physical bodies. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating for the future of what we have. But in verse 47, he continues that the comparison. He said, the first man, that is Adam, was made from the dust of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And there's a comparison again between the first man, Adam, and the second man, which is our Savior. He didn't come from earth. He came from heaven. Adam is the earthy one. He was created from the dust of the earth. And the Lord from the Lord Jesus Christ was not created. Of course, we understand He's not created. But He is not. The Lord Jesus is not from the earth. He is from heaven. And in verse 48, he says, Paul says, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. The earthy literally means made of dust, earthly minded. You know, we come from Adam because we're of the dust of the earth. Have you ever noticed when people die and they're put in caskets and buried in the ground? You know, this is not done just by accident. You know, this was designed by our God. We came from the dust, and we go back into the dust, so to spiritually speaking. And we also see that He is the Lord Jesus Christ is the man from heaven, and He of course is heavenly minded. But we see here again the contrast and the comparison that Paul is trying to make between our future resurrection bodies and the bodies that we're living in right now, our flesh and blood bodies. And he says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We have the characteristics of Adam. We have that sin nature. We have bodies that decay. We have a limited, finite lifespan. In the heavenly, the man of heaven, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, allows us or gives us these things that we need for our spiritual body. That is eternal life. How can we last into eternity without an eternal body, without eternal life? He has also forgiven our sins. You know, if we entered heaven with our sin nature, Lord would kick us out again. People who possess the sin nature are not going to be in heaven. None of them will. But we also have a new hope for the future. You know, our resurrection bodies will bear the image of our Savior. And what did John say in his epistle? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, when you and I are all gathered together in heaven in a future time, we'll all be gathered in front of the throne looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. We will reflect his image. And it's hard for us to understand what that's going to look like, what that's going to be like. You know, what's going to happen and what's going to be going on during this time. But the scriptures do give us a little glimpse, a small crack in the door about what's going to happen in the future for us. And finally, in verse 50, Paul says, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. These flesh and blood bodies that we have right now, they can't be a part of our eternal home in heaven. These bodies that we have now can't be a part of the kingdom of God. They've got to be changed. They've got to be different. And I think Paul here in verse 50 is trying to say that that which is decaying will not share in what is immortal. In other words, that which is temporary, like our physical bodies, are not going to be in heaven. The Lord himself must change our bodies from the flesh and blood bodies we have now into a new, resurrected, glorified body. Brothers and sisters, we got a wonderful future to look forward to. You know, the Lord has provided us in 1 Corinthians 15, like I said, a glimpse, a crack in the door at our future. And this is something, you know, sometimes during our daily experiences and the events that we live in, we don't think about that, do we? We think about our aches and our pains and our sicknesses and all that. And you know, when I was reading this passage, I was thinking, there's not going to be any atrial fibrillation in heaven. Thank God. There won't be any cancer. There won't be any strokes. There won't be any heart attacks. There won't be any kidney failure. None of that will be in our physical bodies when we're in the presence of the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. It's just like that apparently dead-looking seed going into the ground, and it grows back as these beautiful flowers. Death is the first step in our receiving a glorious immortal body. Let me repeat that. Death is the first step in our receiving a glorious, new, immortal body. See, death has got no hold on us. And we'll talk about this more detail in the last section. But you and I have nothing to fear from death. We have something to look forward to when we die. Think of those poor people in the world who are lost. They don't have that. They don't have that hope. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have something to look forward to. We have an eternal hope for the future. And we have a faithful God who will bring it all to pass. He will bring it all to pass. Someday. Well, that's the end of our message tonight, and I believe Brother Bob has got a prayer request.